Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, My Crumbling Audio is proudly presented by Squared Circle Entertainment. Join the SCE Worldwide Movement on Facebook, and let's conquer the globe together. Greetings, heathens and harlots, and welcome to this episode of My Crumbling Audio, the only show that gives no indication in the title that we talk about butt stuff. As always, I'm the game-streaming, daydreaming, crises-pleasing host of this shindig, Crum. Let's chat a while, shall we? I am running out of creative ways to thank you, my heathens and harlots, for all the awesome support you shower on this rickety little show that we do every week. Seriously, the downloads keep going up, compliments, retweets, follows keep going up, which makes this so very worth it for me. Your humble crumb thanks you. Before I talk about sex toys and horror, I have a few housekeeping notes that I'd like to bring up. Firstly, I've started a Patreon campaign. The success of this show has been frankly a little staggering, and I mean that in the very best way possible. I'm not screaming the safe word at all. I just really wasn't ready for your enthusiasm. That's all I'm trying to say. Which is where the whole having a Patreon campaign comes in. The show is not going away or changing in any negative fashion at all. Literally, the only thing that I can see changing in the near future is the release date, because nobody at my day job understands that my loyalty is to my amazing heathens and harlots. More on that, if or when and or when it happens. The Patreon campaign allows you to become involved in the production of this show with minimal investment and zero work. Like, seriously, I'll take care of all that. If that appeals to you, please hit the link in the description. If not, no worries. I appreciate the shares, subscribes, and reviews, too. Secondly, I seem to have forgotten that there was a big wrestling show last week, and a few slightly smaller shows, too. So, in case you were curious, I predicted them all correctly. Like, totally. Didn't get anything wrong. Totally didn't forget to put them in the show. Just didn't add it into last week's show, because the show went long, and that's my story, and yeah, you have to take that. And I honestly don't want to review the shows entirely. I do want to touch on a few points from each. So in no particular order, here are some random wrestling thoughts from the week that was. Firstly, happy anniversary, ROH. 16 years means you're old enough to drive, yet not old enough to be considered a legit contender for any sort of TV crown, even though your owner owns TV stations. The two biggest news items are Impact World Champ Austin Aries, who stole my catchphrase, by the way, of the greatest man that ever lived, arrived to confront Kenny King, and a giant teddy bear unmasked to reveal Kenny Omega, who promptly beat on Cody, please don't call him Rhodes because they'll sue you, Rhodes. I'll take the less surprising element first. Kenny Omega and Cody are building a feud. This appearance makes total sense. Good to see Kenny back on this side of the pond, and I kind of still think we're building to a match, though, that will take place somewhere in Japan. The more surprising element is A Double showing up, Impact title in hand, and inserting himself into a storyline. I like to bring you, my dear H's, that's heathens and harlots for those keeping score, the most up-to-date and reliable information, so I stole this bit directly from the dirt sheets. Apparently, Aries isn't under contract to Impact, but he did clear the appearance through them, even though he was booked directly by ROH and not through that weird talent booking program that Impact has where they get 10% of the performer's pay. This shit comes literally a day after I read that Dorian Roldan, who is the owner of AAA in Mexico, is interested in buying Impact. Why did I bring those two up at the same time? Well, they relate in a certain way. It means that Impact's new management is still following the old management's playbook of not maintaining contracts of champions, or frankly anyone for that matter. That business practice seems to align with what I've read about how AAA is run. So, the whole thing screams incompetent desperation. I'm super happy to be proven wrong, I really am. But this situation screams that Aries and Ring of Honor are winning, especially since there is apparently no talent sharing going on between Impact and Ring of Honor. And here I thought owls were wise birds. And of course, WWE put on Fastlane this past Sunday. And this time, I gotta be honest, I cared so little about the event that I didn't even join my buddies on their podcast to talk about it. Surprise, Orton win out of nowhere! Yay, he's held all the titles! Let's put him in the hall and get him off my TV. Shane O'Mac has more awkward insertions than a rookie lesbian. Let's be real. So it's going to be a triple threat between the best frenemies and the guy they both hate? To what end exactly? In all honesty, I was kind of hoping more for the rumored Shane-Dolph Ziggler match. They could still get there, but at this point I kind of doubt it and we're stuck with Owens versus Zayn versus Shane. However, otherwise, no surprises in Fastlane. We are on the road to WrestleMania, and people would have rioted if the E had tried to take away the dream match of AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura away, and it's for a title. It's not the title, because that UFC guy has it, but it's a title. And no word of a lie, really, at this point, as I record this episode, that match is the only reason I'd be watching Mania. Really, not much to see at Fastlane, and unfortunately, even now, not much to see at Mania. Let's move on. Holy craps, I had more housekeeping. Fuck, busy week for the old crumb, ain't it? Alright, this is a little bit fourth wall, but I'm sure by now you've noticed that the segments come and go. I'm really big on planning the episodes, but it seems like even I can't get my shit together on a weekly basis. My question is, do you care, dear heathens and harlots? And by that, I mean, do you want a regimented show with each episode following the same format? Or are you open to how we've been doing things, keeping it loose and informal and just sort of a hint of structure? I lean towards going loose and informal because I'm slutty that way, but also because sometimes certain topics aren't going to be available. Take, for example, I don't know if you remember a couple episodes ago, I did Really Reddit? And I'm on Reddit every day, but I haven't found anything else really worth making fun of on the show. So that segment sort of goes by the wayside. For now, we'll keep things going the way they are. And if you have suggestions, you send them my way, and I'll take them under the covers and see if we can work with them. For now, let's get on with the show.
Hey, this is Toby from the Secret Transmission Podcast. I just wanted to let you know about our cryptid tournament that we're having all March long. It's called Monster Madness. So we have 8 different cryptids. Some you may recognize, some you may not recognize. All you have to do is like Cryptid Crate on either Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and then tell us which of the 8 cryptids that are in this tournament you think will win. That's it, and you're entered, and you have the possibility of winning a free Cryptid Crate. That's usually $60 to $70 worth of items, and you will win it absolutely free. But if you're interested in purchasing a Cryptid Crate, you can go to CryptidCrate.com and use our promo code SECRETPOD, and you'll save 20% on your first purchase. So if you like cryptozoology, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, the Mothman, Chupacabra, whatever, you may find it in these crates. So come check out our tournament and check out CryptidCrate.com.
Okay, I had to get that promo in before I forgot. Huge thanks to Secret Transmission executive producer Satan for making his minions pull that promo together. Have you ever had your expectations set so high that they couldn't possibly be reached? And then people you trust tell you not to worry, that this thing is going to reach your expectations and give you that mind-blown feeling. This is not one of those stories. This is about a movie that's super overhyped to the point that I sat down with Crises to watch it and actually told the TV to go ahead and impress me. What I got was a tired storyline with a tedious thread of mystery and a foregone conclusion. If you're a horror fan, you probably guessed that I watched Veronica last weekend. Now, the flick isn't all bad. I gotta give some credit where credit is due. The acting is actually top-notch, which is amazing given the youth of most of the cast. Sister Death is particularly compelling in her duality, her dual personality sort of thing. She becomes this mentor to Veronica, but otherwise she's pretty much an invalid, so I'm not sure if that's sort of some sort of demon awakening or what, but she is very, very compelling to watch. And she provides a great mentor and sort of almost a deus ex, but not really, because she doesn't solve the problem, but she is the one who drives Veronica to find the solution. And I can't for the life of me figure out who she reminds me of. The obvious answer is the nun, because she is a nun, but she reminds me of someone else, from a movie, I'm going to lose it. It was the possession of Deborah. Something or other. I'm really bad. I should have researched this more, but anyway, that's what you get. Anyway, she reminds me of her visually. Could be the same person, but I don't think so, because Veronica is in Spanish, and the woman I am speaking of was, as far as I can tell, only spoke English. Anywho, moving on. Set design in this is also top-notch. Even though I don't know what Spain in 1991 looked like, it seemed like all the anachronisms were there to really get you into the feel of the movie. And they, honestly, mega bonus points for the design of the Ouija board, as I very much enjoyed that interpretation, and both Crises and I would very much like a copy in our home. The monster, however, baffles the fuck out of me, because it seems to follow a trend in horror flicks that all monsters must be ambiguous and completely pitch black. If this was supposed to be some sort of a Mayan ancestor, not giving it a face was kind of jarring. What I mean that it's kind of a cross between Slenderman and every ghost you've ever seen ever. If it's supposed to be a Mayan devil, that part kind of gets lost and it's not explained through the story well enough for me particularly to figure out. Either way, monster loses. I honestly don't get the hype for this flick. No scares at all, so ladies and gentlemen, the debuting, it's a no crumbs down. I mean, it's an all crumbs down. Man, I screwed up the debut. That's beautiful. It's a crumbs down for me. Form me. Wow. So what does scare you, Crumb? That is a hell of a question. How about some insane sounds coming from a seemingly empty forest? There's a small town in BC, that's British Columbia, called Morristown, and they were probably only known for being not Vancouver before all this happened. I've isolated the sound. It happens twice. Let's listen, shall we?
Scary.
I really hope you had your headphones on for that one. To set the scene, it's a home video of the edge of a forest, lots of snow, wind, basically your worst winter nightmare. Then that happens, twice, in daylight. Now, some naysayers have already alluded to the possibility of elk or other large woodland animals, but for whatever reason, I'm inclined to disagree. While I don't think any humans are in immediate danger, I do tend to think that something is meeting its inevitable and very painful demise. However, I also think that something is calling its demon overlords into this plane of existence. So basically, we're all doomed anyway. I absolutely love shit like this. Even if it could be explained away, if you've got anything you think I could check out, hit the email in the description and send it my way. I'd be happy to dissect it. Poorly, but you know, I'll try. Remember a few episodes ago, I made fun of Twitch and their really weird community guidelines pertaining to dress code? Well, it turns out that's actually a pretty common thing to do, along with being totally worth it. By the by, if you want to see me fully clothed and play video games horribly, twitch.tv/mycrumblingabode is where you want to head to. Shameless plug aside, the dress code is kinda asinine, especially since someone like me, I have to put the mature tag on my channel because, as y'all know, I curse just a little fucking bit. Many streamers have complied, and I kinda get it, because getting paid to play video games is like really kinda the dream. As I've said before, there are alternatives. A new such alternative has just popped up, in the form of a site that may have a less descriptive name than this podcast. It's called Amateur Community. It's exactly what it says. A community for amateurs. I suppose both amateur gamers and exhibitionists, though one major difference appears as I research their platform. Performers can sell their content. That doesn't mean anyone is going to pay to watch them game, though it might and it could, and I've been wrong before. But what it means is that the possibility that a gamer girl, and the platform is for female performers only thus far, to be streaming and shilling the blowjob video she just recorded, or getting tips while playing and rewarding fans with mini videos or photo sets. The possibilities honestly are enticing, though I kind of have my doubts as to whether I can get Crises to sign up. Toes crossed, heathens and harlots. Every once in a while, I come across activists that are just a little weird for my liking. Now, I like to bring the fun to you, my fine heathens and harlots, and this is actually a little fun, if not also a lot scary and kind of depressing. I'm going to talk about sports, firstly. Not any sort of competition, and I promise I will bring no actual sports talk into this, but this does involve a sports team. Apparently, last week or the week before, article's a little unclear, the Kansas City Royals baseball team had a mandatory team meeting put on by their general manager, and it had to do with the dangers of pornography. This general manager actually believed that it was a good idea to get not only professional athletes, who are all adult men, and the what they call a farm team, which is like the minor leagues, so the guys who are trying to make the big league team. So they had all of them in one room, and they had what is, I've got to get this right now, it's called Fight the New Drug. They are an anti-porn proselytizing group who come in to wherever it is you are. So in this case, your dugout, your dressing room, it should be your sanctuary. You know, you definitely want to have some space there. But they invaded their space. Some folks, there's actually a picture, some of those folks, those poor bastards, couldn't even shower before this lecture started. And Fight the New Drug said that pornography is evil. It's long been known that athletes should not have sex the night before a game. That's total bullshit, but trust me, even when I was an athlete, that shit was actually handed down to me as gospel. And, you know, it was kind of easy for me to not have sex because, well, your hand doesn't count. But these guys are all adults. They're all post-college or sometimes maybe college age, but anyway, old enough to be considered legal adults. They're trying to say that pornography spouts or spawns domestic abuse, which is very interesting because if you research the Kansas City Royals and domestic abuse, you will find exactly two cases, and neither of them are A, current players, and B, not one of them actually blamed pornography for their problems. And to the best of my knowledge, both of those problems were resolved with communication, honesty, and all the other stuff that I preach regularly on this show. And I'm sorry for using the word preach. I really am. I do not want it to come off like that. But this gets fucking ridiculous because you have something apparently called the Family Research Council, who, from what I can tell, are ridiculous right-wing Christian nuts. I can't even say it. It gets me so mad. Who are pushing these values. And it's like, wait a minute. When has porn ever caused a baseball-related injury? In fact, if you are a man who plays baseball, or if you're anyone who plays baseball, masturbating will actually help you play baseball because it improves your wrist and forearm strength. These people are absolutely fucking ridiculous, and I can't believe they actually pulled a whole bunch of people in to try to do this. I understand that the general manager, whose name I forget, is a Christian, so he may have these particular sets of values, and that is all 100% well and good. Believe what you want to believe. I'm a firm believer in that. But to bring this on to people who, let's be real, they might not all be Christian, they might not all care. Some of them, hey, personal preference. Some of them may not actually even watch porn. It does happen in society. And I just get confused as to why you would do that. So, fight the new drug? No, fight the old drugs. Meth is bad. Porn is not. That is my crumb lecture for the day. It is the song of the week. Here comes the song of the week. It's much better than this. It's a hit you just can't miss. It's the song of the week. Remember a little while ago, I said that if I actually got permission, I'd actually play a song on this show? Holy fuckballs, heathens and harlots, I actually got permission. So, we're going to do this ending a little bit differently. We are going to end the show with the song of the week carrying us out instead of the usual ending and theme song. So, from the bottom of my black little soul, thank you so very much for listening. I hope you come back next week. If you would, please subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, or grab me in your RSS feed and follow me on all the social media. It's My Crumbling Abode absolutely everywhere. All the links are in the description, and I very much appreciate it. And now, on to something that I am so honored to present. It is the latest single from Nyx. You may remember her from a few weeks ago. She is back with her brand new single, Voodoo, and she is joined on this track by Daniel Graves from Aesthetic Perfection. I absolutely adore this track. I will link to Nyx in the show notes as well. Please enjoy the track, and I will see you all next week. Hey, if you're listening to this, there's a very good chance I actually got the show up on Spotify, which means I can't play songs. So if you had the original version of this episode, good on you, it's a collector's item. Otherwise, for now, here's the regular outro. And if I haven't said it before and you know I have, you can say it with me. If you can't be good, please be good at it.